Check. There we go. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. If you're going to join us for Adult Sunday School, come on into the sanctuary and grab a study guide back there by Coach Morley, and then grab a seat and get settled in. As we get settled, let me start by opening us up with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for this morning. We are grateful for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for waking us up today and giving us life. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather together today as your church and to make the visible picture of the church seen. And Lord, to give you glory for what you've done in making us a people who were once not a people. God, we thank you for that. And we thank you for the opportunity to learn more about very important areas of life. This morning in our Sunday school class, we pray, God, that you would instruct us from your word. Holy Spirit, that you would help us to see and understand important truths. Help us all to see our role in that. And Lord, we pray that you would be changing us and conforming us to the image of your Son and equipping us for every good work. And it's to that end that we ask for your help this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. We are continuing in our series called Shepherding a Child's Heart, based largely on a book by Ted Tripp. And we've had this video series, and today we'll have another video. We're going to be talking about our goals, examining your goals. So this is a very important session, a foundational session that will help put a few other pieces together as we move along. Before we get into the content of today, just by way of reminder, we've pointed this out several times, but when we talk about shepherding a child's heart, we're really talking about biblical anthropology. We're talking about shepherding all of our hearts, and there's really nothing. There's some things that are specific to different stages of development, but there's really nothing about the human heart in relationship to a child that doesn't apply to me and to you. So we take the same stuff and we make it more sophisticated, sometimes less sophisticated. But we have the same thing wrong with us, and we have the same solutions to apply. And so that's one good reason to be thinking about engaging very intently with this material, even if you're not currently raising children or don't think you will be in the near future. This is relevant for all of us. But in addition to that, I've said this and I'll keep saying this, we ought to be thinking as a church. So even if you've raised children or even if you never will have children, we ought to be thinking about how we love the rest of our family and are unified in how to train up children so that we can come alongside and support each other and encourage each other. If you don't have kids or won't have kids, you do have other people in this room that you have a covenant relationship with that will. And so to love them well would partially mean I know something about how to care for them and encourage them and their important task of training up kids. So here's the main idea of our lesson today. Hey, life is full of an unending list of things to do with and for children, as well as countless material things for them to delight in. What governs and guides our engagement in these things? Why do we or don't we participate in certain activities? Why do we or don't we provide certain things? With respect to activities and possessions, the cultural assumption can be the more the better. And in that environment, a Christian parent may allow their task to be reduced to simply to the role of activity director while they work to prevent their children from ever feeling bored. Or they may also simply learn to delight in their children's delight in possessions. But this isn't a biblical way to think about parenting. Successful parenting isn't simply filling our child's lives with activities and possessions. We must remember that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, and we need to allow that goal to govern and guide our choices regarding what we have and what we do. Godly parents and godly churches supporting those parents will either say yes or no to activities and possessions for a purpose in order to teach our children to live in reference to God and to reinforce the fundamental reality that only in Him will our souls be truly satisfied. Okay, so that let's work through a couple of warm-up questions before we get into our video. Warm-up question number one, activities and possessions, neither one of these are inherently bad. Okay, in fact, there can be some risks in thinking that way. What might be the risk of an extreme minimalism or self-denial with respect to activities and possessions? Daniel. Yeah, one potential danger is that they will be ill-prepared to actually engage in the world. So it's good for a parent to be reminded that the task is to get them ready to go, and if you do a good job, they go and they stay gone, right? And if you're thinking that way, you're not throwing them to the wolves when they're little bitty, but you are preparing them to engage with the world, right? So if you have a mentality of self-denial and we're going to avoid all activities and we're going to treat possessions like they're a bad thing, you might ill prepare them to actually engage in the world and be effective. What are some other risks? Peg. Yeah. So we don't have to teach this. This comes very naturally to us. Our flesh wants that, and there's a risk that we can kind of promote a sort of Phariseeism, where there's a self-righteousness and a moralistic way of thinking. That's one risk. How about another one? Randy? Yeah. Yeah, you lose your joy. So Joe Rigney wrote a book called Strangely Bright. And if God didn't want you to be delighted by the things in this world, he made it strangely bright, strangely sweet, strangely good. It seems like a whopper of a coincidence that there's so much that looks good, feels good, tastes good, is good in this world if God doesn't want you to receive good gifts and enjoy it. So one of the risks might be, and this coincides with having children that are ill-prepared to engage in the world, but one of the risks can be not learning to enjoy the gifts that God gives appropriately and give Him glory for that and thank Him for that. Emily. Yes, ma'am. I think you just said better than I did what I was trying to say. Yeah, because our children are instinctively and compulsively worshipers, as all human beings are, and your job is to help them to interact with activities and possessions in this world in a way that directs their heart toward the Lord, and you're facilitating worship in their responses. Good. So what are some of the benefits of things like sports or extracurricular activities? We're going to pick on this a little bit later in the lesson, so that's why I want to ask, what are some of the benefits? Randy? Discipline and self-control. Yep. What's that? There can be a godly confidence that's built that we can call self-esteem. Sometimes the conversation around self-esteem can be dangerous, but you're right. You can build a godly kind of confidence. Yep. Other benefits? Peg? Yeah. Get outside of yourself for a little bit. And those things facilitate an opportunity to say the world doesn't revolve around you, Jack. Okay, but what are some of the risks associated with the never-ending list of activities that are available to youth? Liz? Downtime is good for processing, engaging, having conversations. If you don't have any downtime, you can't do that. Yep. Good. What else? Danielle? Yeah, we want to be careful that we don't suggest that it's always all bad to be involved in things like that. That would be a ridiculous position to take. But to be honest about the danger of, if you fill the schedule up with extracurriculars, you are making a value statement, right? You're saying, this is what life is, this is what's important, this is how we function. And so if that means that we never see each other as a family, so be it. And there's an unspoken catechesis that's happening. There's a training that's happening where built into the culture of the home and the fabric of life are value statements even without speaking. So if we're always too busy to engage in worship or too busy to engage as a family and have devotions or prayer, things like that, children will, they'll add this up and they'll say, I get it. I know what's more important. I know what's valuable here, according to Dad and Mom. Does that make sense? Okay, Steve. Mm-hmm. You can experience burnout. There can be an awful lot of stress and pressure put on kids, even younger than college age, to be keeping up academically, to be keeping up with their education. And that can be an undue pressure that's harmful, not helpful for a child's development. Liz? Yeah, I think another easily overlooked issue is, and we'll touch on this a little bit further along in the lesson, if youth are immersed in activity after activity, and the majority of that is run by and in partnership with a largely secular environment, you do have a training. You have a training up that's taking place, and they don't know it, and you don't know it if you're not engaged in that. But unbelieving football coaches make value statements that make an impression on a kid that lasts for a long time. Unbelieving teachers make value statements that have an impression on a kid for a long time. And so we could look at the dance instructor, that whatever it is, if we have a lot of that happening and we're not aware of that, then this is a shaping influence to be honest about. There can be a risk associated with that where a parent can be out of control of a lot of important shaping influences. And we'll talk more about that as we go along. Why is it important for us to have clear biblical goals that govern and guide us in this area? So with respect to activities and possessions, the things we do and the things we have, why is it critical that we have clear biblical goals to govern us? And yeah. Good. I think it's really easy for a parent to succumb to a pressure, whether it's pressure from the child or pressure from the culture, to say, this is what we do, and that child's deprived if they're not up to speed or involved in as many things. And so there can be a lot of second guessing that goes on in the mind of a parent. Boy, it really feels like we're out of balance here. We've got something going on every night. I haven't seen the kids for a night together in 2 weeks, but I'm just not sure if we should pull back on anything. And there's pressure to maintain a pace and to be engaged in things that may not fit in with a clear biblical objective, but it's easy to go along with that. It's easy to go with the flow and give into that pressure. And well-meaning parents that love their children and just want to bless them, the tendency is going to be say yes, right? I want to give to you. I want to give to you what I didn't have. I want to give to you more than I had. And the impulse of a parent that loves their children is often going to be to err on that side. And it's important to have clear biblical objectives that protect against that. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Well, that's enough for warm-up. Let's go ahead and run the video. And if you follow along here on your study guide, you've got notes bullet-pointed from the video that take you to the back side. And then when we get to the Q&A portion, that's where the video will be over, and then we'll pick our discussion back up. Okay, let's start by just opening up for Q&A. I've got a few reflection questions, but before we get there, since we have just a little over 10 minutes, open it up to you in case you have some questions. You don't want to neglect those. Rowdy bunch this morning. Okay. All right. Well, okay, reflection question number one, and it'll be 1A. Humans, including young ones, were made for God to be in a relationship with Him and satisfied in Him. True life for those made in God's image is found in the delightful pleasures of knowing and loving God. So, 1A, the question is, what are some of the ways that a parent might unwittingly offer alternate pleasures that distract their child from knowing God and finding their identity and significance in Him? Whitney. Yeah, I think this is a good example. It forces us to think very carefully about this because on one hand, parents are there to reflect communicable attributes of God. And a mom is to nurture because this represents God. And a dad is to fulfill the distinct role of dad because you are bearing witness to something. But we err if we do more than bear witness and actually take the place of the greater reality and shepherd kids to not be able to function outside of that close attachment with mom and dad. Of course, that subject can be super sensitive. There can be a lot of factors in some families that make that a complicated thing, but it is a worthy endeavor. It's a necessary endeavor to labor to help kids to find their security in the Lord and not strictly in mom and dad as they're growing and getting older. And that starts young. That starts with if you're upset in the crib, you're going to be upset for a little bit and you'll learn to be okay. And that sets the stage for building that down the road. Good. What are some other ways that a parent might unwittingly offer alternate pleasures that distract their children from knowing God and finding their identity and significance in Him? Liz? Yeah, this is good. So you're partially starting to answer the next question. How can this be done even when they're very young? And there's a way that with little ones, we can really overstimulate and kind of keep a thrill in front of them all the time. That can be with media. That can be with games. That can be with movies. That can be with food, anything that's sensual. When they're small, they're learning to love these things. And when I say sensual, I'm just talking about not necessarily sexual, but the senses. So a kid is thrilled by eating ice cream, and if I keep putting that in front of him regularly all the time, I am training the heart. I am training the heart every time, provide that comfort. And if we overdo that without good conversations that direct the heart to the Lord, then we're actually holding out for them a distraction, something less than satisfaction in the Lord. And sometimes this is hard for parents of young ones. Sometimes it's just easier to put something very stimulating in front of them, because you're out of my hair for a little bit, right? And you're busy for a little bit, but actually that fast-paced stimulation all the time can be something that's not helpful for the development of that little one's soul. Let's think about kids as they're getting a little bit older. What are some of the ways that a parent will unwittingly or maybe unintentionally offer alternate pleasures or distract their children from finding their identity and their value in the Lord? Don? Yeah, so there can be a conforming to the standard of the world or an adopting the ways of the world to fit in that's leading, that's taking a child along with that. Randy, what were you going to say? Uh-huh. Yeah. That is the way that I grew up. And love my parents dearly and would only want to say things that would honor them, but it was way overboard with sports and the sense of identity that I had wrapped up in athletics and things like that. That was detrimental to that degree. I think some of the harder ones to discern might be related to very, very good things like an education or a career, right? So we can impose on a young person as they're getting older this idea that you'd better get a post-secondary education. This is just what's done. When you're out of high school, you go to college, and there may not be any rhyme or reason to that other than this is just what's done. And this is applying a standard that's saying your identity is rooted in following a cultural norm here, getting that degree, and that's not necessarily a good thing for every young person. Not everybody ought to go to college. Not everybody ought to be ushered into that. Am I making sense? Okay. What we want to be cautious of is the possibility of allowing good but lesser goals. I think this is probably the most dangerous thing. Good but lesser goals to take precedence over the overarching goal of trying to point our children, whether they're your children or other children in this community of faith, pointing them to a satisfaction in God, a delight in Him, a life of worshiping Him and finding identity and significance in Him. Other lesser goals that are good and noble goals can take precedence over that, and we want to be careful. So looking at question two, how can developing special skills and preparing children to be fruitful or successful be part of a biblical goal? Liz? Yeah, excellent. So you just held out a positive and a negative. One of the ways that we can have a lesser goal subtly take the place of a bigger overarching goal is if we hold out, you work hard and you do this, because if you do, then life will be easier and better for you. And who's at the center of the universe there? This one who we're instructing in this, and we want to take care to say there are good reasons to do this. You ought to work hard, but that reason's bigger than you. And it goes beyond just you having the things that you want. Does that make sense? A good example. Okay. What are some other reasons why developing special skills can be a part of a biblical goal? Randy. Yeah, and this is partially connected to something we talked about in the warm-up, that we want to take care that we aren't denying an enjoyment of good gifts that God has given. And in the same way, we don't want to deny the fact that God cares about vocation and industry and productivity, and part of filling the earth with God's image and part of discipling the nations also requires infrastructure and resources and doctors and nurses, and part of being obedient to the cultural mandate and the Great Commission is doing your job and being really dang good at it. And we ought to instill that, but it ought to be connected to that bigger picture of we're on God's errand with whatever these skills are, with whatever these things are that we're doing. Looks like we're about out of time. Let me pray, and that'll be it for today. Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We thank you again that you haven't left us alone in the enormously important task of training up children. Thank you that we have the support of a church family, a covenant community where we can help each other and encourage each other in this task. And Father, we pray that you would help us to have goals that line up with your goals. Lord, we don't want to hold out lesser goals. We don't want to distract our youth from knowing and being satisfied in you. So help us to see that. Help us to wisely make decisions that are oriented towards knowing you and being delighted in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.